Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to get green. Doug Oster and Jessica Walliser are in the house. All natural, no pesticides, no artificial ingredients. The Organic Gardeners. Biz Radio 1020 KDK.
866-391-1020. Dollar Bank Instant Access, KDK.com. 10th caller right now wins a gift certificate from Sorgles. 412-922-1020. They're back, ready to take your call. So without further ado, the stars of the show from TribLive.com. It's Doug and Jess. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. I'm Doug Oster from the Tribune Review.
And I'm horticulturist Jessica Walliser.
And look, it's light out. It's
crazy,
7 in
right?
the morning and it's light out.
Summer's on the horizon.
The days are getting longer. The weather's getting better.
The weeds are getting worse.
Oh, I don't weed anymore, so go ahead.
You don't weed anymore?
No, I like weeds.
You just gave up the ghost?
I weed when I have to, but I know you're making fun of me at Giant Eagle, but I really, the summer weeds, some of them, if they're beautiful, I'm leaving them.
I'm okay with some of them. What I'm not okay with is that gosh darn bittercress, which is the little tiny white flowers, real low to the ground. They're flowering right now because they make a bajillion of them, right?
Got to get them before they go to seed. That's,
definitely.
They are edible.
I know.
Don't you feed them to your chickens?
I do, actually. The chickens really like them. But first, before that happens, I have to actually pull them out of the beds. And also the creeping Charlie. And the creeping Charlie in the lawn, they also call it ground ivy. In the lawn, I don't mind it. Because it's green, and that's okay, and the little purple flowers the bumblebees love, and that's great, fine. But it comes into the beds, and I like my beds like to have a nice edge to them, and that creeping Charlie is always messing up my plans. So I was in the beds, earlier this week, maybe Wednesday, getting that creeping Charlie out of there, and I really only have to do it maybe twice a year.
What do you do with it
year.
Once you get it out?
I pitch it on the compost pile.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, if I use that, so
well,
I have two
no
compost
seeds.
Piles.
There's no seeds, right?
Well, it could come back. I have two compost piles. I have one that I throw things on that compost doesn't ever go back onto the garden.
I've got one of those, too.
Because it's got weed seeds. It's got, you know, root pieces of plants that I don't want to sprout in the garden. And then I have a different compost pile that's the nice stuff that isn't going to cause problems in the garden. So that creeping Charlie definitely goes on the dump pile. I tried giving it to the chickens, but they don't want to have anything to do with it.
They don't like creeping Charlie.
But as I understand, the wild turkeys do.
Huh.
So I'm not really sure why the chickens don't, but the chickens don't eat it at our house. So I never throw that over the fence for them. But it is a pain in the beds. The lawn, I don't care, but I don't like it in the beds.
Wouldn't it be funny if like the wild turkeys attacked your garden and all they did was eat the creeping Charlie?
Eat the creeping Charlie would be wonderful. It would be wonderful. But
organic control.
Here's what I want to try, right? Speaking of organic control for creeping Charlie, is I want to try the newer organic herbicides that are based on the chelated iron, like Iron X and that Whitney Farms lawn weed killer, because they're only supposed to do the broad-leaved weeds and not the grass, which is great for organic gardeners to finally have an organic product that works
yeah,
on.
Yeah, explain how that works.
So it is an iron-based product, and essentially grass, or what are called monocots, which is something that has like a single leaf coming out of the seed, they can handle excessive amounts of iron. But broad-leaved plants, or dicots, which have two leaves that come out of their seed.
Dandelions.
Creeping Charlie, plantains, things like that. They can't handle this excessive of iron, and it actually kills them. It's OD.
You can't handle the iron.
They OD, essentially, on that iron. And so these products that are made with this, and again, there's one called Iron X. There's one called the Whitney Farms Lawn Weed Killer.
Okay. So Iron X, where do we get that?
Well, that's from Gardens Alive. So that is, you'd have to order it online or from their catalog. I believe that's the only place.
The Whitney Farms is called Lawn Weed Killer.
But it's Whitney Farms Lawn Weed Killer.
And that is available at local nurseries.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so don't take the chemical stuff as a substitute, because the chemical stuff is filled with really products that you don't want to expose yourself to.
I actually told the story yesterday how I was speaking at tracks and you were going to be up next. And in between us was a guy from a big lawn company, And I was basically telling people that their kids and pets were going to get cancer from using herbicides. And this one guy in the audience was giving me the stink eye. And I came back and you were laughing at, that's the guy from the company.
That's pretty funny.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that. But you do have to be, I mean, just please choose the products that you use around yourself and your kids and your pets
and
wildlife. Choose them very carefully. But I want to try that on the Creeping Charlie to see how effective it really is.
Have we heard any reports about that? I don't remember.
Well, I used it on some just real easy annual weeds like the oxalis and a couple other things, and it worked great and didn't damage the lawn. But I haven't tried it on a very tenacious weed like this or dandelions. But I hear good things about it. So the only way is to run your own trials, which is what I'm going to do.
Hey, congratulations, Dana from Bethel Park, winner of that gift certificate from the good folks at Sorgles, and you will be at the Butler Home Show next week.
I will. Next Sunday, I'll be at the Butler Home Show. It's at the Family Sports Center. I'll be there at 2 o'clock talking organic gardening, and I have some free seeds for a good cause. Partnered with the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank, you grow out the Swiss chard and donate to your local pantry. All the information is on the seed packet. Come out and see me. I always have great crowds at the Butler Home Show. That is a great show.
We'll come back. Take your phone calls coming up in just a couple of moments. 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank Instant Access, KDK.com.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. Biz Radio 1020, KDKA.
Go.
Go home? All right. I'm going home. All right.
See ya.
I'm going fishing.
Bye.
Saturday, I'll be at Old Economy Village for the Spring Garden Workshop. It's an all-day gardening event that benefits the historic property, 4 garden speakers, lunch, and then a party with Doug. I'm making my famous garlic mustard pesto. Now, there's a weed that you can love. Garlic mustard pesto, I'm telling you.
I don't love it, though.
Garlic mustard pesto. I'm making some. I'm bringing it in. You'll like it.
I've no doubt I will like eating it, but I just don't like the weed.
Yeah,
right.
But it's a good way to use it. If you need more information, just go to oldeconomy.org.
All right, let's talk to some folks, some busy phone lines this morning, and say hi to Cecilia in Cranberry. Hey, Cecilia, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I have 2 quick questions. First, I put in my very first asparagus patch last year, ever, and I'm looking forward to harvesting in another year or so. What should I do with it this spring? Should I mulch that bed? Should I feed it? Should I just ignore it for another year?
Well, definitely the weeds are going to be the main issue. I think, mulching would be a great idea before everything starts coming up. It'll come up here probably April. Well, it depends. End of the month probably it'll be poking up. And I like to mulch them because the weeds, you don't want the weeds to overtake that beautiful asparagus bed. And you're going to be so happy when you start picking asparagus out of the garden. I get people.
It's going to be so hard not to pick it this year.
Oh, I know, but don't do it. Don't do it because you need those plants to get bigger. So you're you planted it in the fall?
I planted it last spring, actually.
Okay, so 1 year, and you're going to have to wait. How old were the roots? Were it 1 year or 2 year old roots? Do you know? Do you remember?
I think they were 1 year old roots.
I got bad news for you. It's supposed to be 3 years when you start picking.
You can gauge though. Like you can, if they start coming up next year and they're fatter than a pencil, you can harvest a small percentage of them just as like a nice little spring
at
treat.
At least just get the treat.
But only if they're fatter than a pencil. If they're skinnier than that, then you definitely want them to send the energy back into making better roots and a bigger harvest down the line. So he's going to be a judge.
And what was your other question?
Well, I have very limited gardening space because of the light in our yard. I have a few beds that I've dedicated to edibles. And my favorite garlic patch, I actually converted to a blueberry patch last year. I planted 3 different varieties of blueberries last fall.
What? Nice. You converted garlic to blueberries?
Because
that's sacrilege.
It's a good place. My husband loves blueberries. I'm trying to be a nice person here. I love the garlic. But the garlic has to go somewhere. I moved it to a different part of the garden, but I don't want to keep it there. If I interplant garlic around my blueberry bushes, because I gave them a lot of room, will the garlic flavor transfer into my blueberries?
No, don't worry about that. Although that would be pretty,
oh, okay.
That would be great.
No,
though.
That would be disgusting. But no, that does not happen.
Garlic and blueberry ice cream.
Oh, gross. Mm. The issue that you're going to face if you do that, though, is that blueberries like very different soil from garlic.
You got to keep moving that garlic around because it doesn't have many pests and diseases, but when it gets one, it's bad news. You got to keep rotating that garlic.
Right. So put the garlic in a new spot every year. Leave the blueberries as they are. Blueberries have a really shallow fibrous root system, so they're also going to be competitive with the garlic, even though you've spaced them amply. I would keep the garlic out of the blueberry patch. Find a new place for the garlic.
How about some tips for making that blueberry patch thrive?
Oh, definitely mulch it. If you can get a hold of some like white pine needles or real acidic like that, that makes a great mulch for around blueberries. If you can't find that, then you can just do some compost or even shredded bark. Mulch around those blueberries, but not too thickly, only 1 or 2 inches thick, again, because they have that real shallow fibrous root system. And right now is the time of year to add the acid-loving fertilizer like Hollytone to your blueberries, azaleas, rhododendrons, and other acid-loving plants.
Oh, good. Something I can do today.
There you go. Bingo. Thanks for your call, Cecilia.
All right. Dollar Bank Instant Access. Rather lengthy. I love the show. Happy spring. Thanks for all your advice, Doug and Jess. Just purchased a cedar wood raised bed garden kit. Do I need to seal the cedar wood planks with anything or just install it without sealing since it is naturally rot resistant? I was thinking of a food grade sealant. Perhaps a coat of pure carnauba wax on the cedar would help, especially on the wood side that touches the soil. What's your recommendation?
Well, I wouldn't touch it. I would leave the cedar the way it is. That's the way I do it for my cold frames and anything else I build out of cedar. I wouldn't put anything on it.
I have a bunch of cedar raised beds, too, that I grow my fruit in, and mine are just left natural as well.
Save that wax for the car.
Is that a wax you can use on the car?
I think so.
Really?
Well, yeah. Sounds like it. Sounds like a fancy wax you'd put on a car.
The great part about cedar is it's naturally rot resistant. It's naturally resistant to termites. So there is, you know, not a need to do any sealant or painting or anything like that on it. And it weathers to that beautiful gray, which I really love that the appearance of the weathering look when it gets there. So
it's like me, weathering to gray.
No comment.
Let's say hi to Patty. Hey, Patty. Good morning.
Good morning. I have like 10 ornamental grasses that have probably reached the end of their lives, and they're about 2 foot across, and I'm wondering physically if I'm going to be able to dig them out. So I was thinking maybe I could keep the shoots down this year and maybe apply some kind of stump.
Like an herbicide?
No, not an herbicide. Something to make the stumps decompose.
No.
And it would be easier for me to get them up out of the ground.
I don't think so. Ornamental grasses, when you're saying it's at the end of its life, it's probably because it's that large and hasn't been divided. So when anybody has an ornamental grass and you start to see it get really big and the center of it starts to sort of die out and it doesn't look so hot anymore, that's an indication that it really needs to be divided. So if you want to divide it, it is a big job. You might have to hire somebody to do it because they are large plants. Depending on the variety, they can have quite an extensive root system. Your other choice is obviously, of course, to get rid of the plant. But there's really...
Yeah, you can't.
It's not safe to go out there and put, and those stump killers things, they are herbicides to kill a stump, and it's not really a product that you want to be around and have in your garden.
That is a tough job.
It is. I've
done it too.
It's so hard.
Yeah.
You almost need the best job for the best tool for the job is a pickaxe and a chainsaw, because you almost with some of them need a chainsaw to get through that clump of root because it is such a big, hard job. So it's almost worth hiring somebody to come in if you want to get rid of them and really properly dig them out of the garden.
Just dig them out and you'll be done with it.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
I think we can squeeze in one more call. Let's go to Greg in the North Hills. Hey, Greg.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a ground cover. I think it's called something like Lyotrope.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it turns brown every winter, and for some reason over the past years, I've cut it down in the spring so that I got rid of the brown stuff. Is that necessary?
So the ground cover is called Lyotrope. which is also another common name for it is lily grass or lily turfed. It is a really nice ground cover, but it's considered to be a semi-evergreen. So it's green through most of the winter until it's not, and then it looks really ratty and not very good.
Green,
so
it's green through most of the winter
until it's not. Right. So it's always a good idea to go out there and clean up any of that dead growth from around the outside. You can either go in there with a pair of scissors or a pair of pruners and just really clean it out, or you can go in with loppers and just cut the whole thing all the way down to the ground.
It's so tough. It's a, you know, they if you don't know what it is, it's all around like Heinz Field and PNC
it's a tough
Park
plant.
Because it can stand up to the fans. it's a great plant though. You know, there's a lot of cool ones too. You know, some variegated foliages and it gives you some nice flowers. So yeah. Cut it down.
Cut it down, keep it tidy, clean it up, and you'll be good to go.
I like that description of the plant, though. It's green until it's not.
Yep. You knew what I meant, though.
I know.
Butler Home Show next weekend, Mr. Oster.
That's right. I'll be at the Butler Home Show. It's at the Family Sports Center on Route 68. Be there at 2 o'clock talking organic gardening. Got some free seeds for a good cause. I'm partnering with the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. You grow out the Swiss chard, and then you donate it to your local pantry, and all the information is on the seed packet on where you can donate your stuff.
Yesterday, Barry Green dropped by. I thought I'd give you guys a chance to talk a little bit about Jonathan Green, then we're going to go to break.
Good stuff. Good organic control. Actually, I interviewed Barry for a story coming up here in the next couple of weeks, and actually interviewed Andy, too. And Andy, it's interesting.
He's going to be at the home show, too.
Yeah, he's going to be there Saturday. Andy was selling chemicals for 44 years until Jonathan Green came in and he tested it himself. And now 98% of what he sells at EV True Value is organic for lawn care.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Awesome.
All right. Here's the number to join Doug and Jeff today. And we finally have some available space on the phone lines. Very busy first half hour. It is 866-391-1020 or Dollar Bank Instant Access, KDK.com. Next hour, the incredible edible egg from your favorite cake batter. You scramble and you fry them, home fries, whatever you like to do with eggs. The yolk is on you, ladies and gentlemen, because we're discussing the incredible edible egg next hour with Frank Dentisi, Father Joe, enjoying a bit of a vacation. That's all next hour. And then Heffron Tillotson, Your Money and You at 9. In the second hour of the program today, Suzanne Alexander talking about Live Like Lou.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. News Radio 1020 KDKA.
Hey guys, it's 866-391-1020, Dollar Bank Instant Access, KDK.com. We'll take the next four callers because we've got four lines available across the board to talk and get any question answered by Doug Oster and Jessica Wallace, also part of that great skate brand, TribLive.com. Always find out what they're doing there. Now, we've got a $25 gift certificate for someone out there who's the 10th caller at 412-922-1020. Courtesy of Janoski's. Lots to get to, so let's get back to Doug and Jess for the second half hour of this week's edition of The Organic Gardeners.
I'm looking for a farm that would like 200 pounds of seed potatoes. They were accidentally shipped to a friend of mine.
200 pounds?
200 pounds of seed potatoes, and you can have them for the low, low price of $70. It is that's the cost that she incurred on them. It was an accident. She's trying to help out the salesperson. If you would know somebody who would love all those potatoes to plant, just give me a call at my cell phone. It's 412-965-3278. Or just find me online and we'll hook you up.
So we were talking earlier with the caller.
You want
who,
a few
I do not
seed
want
potatoes,
I'm good on
pounds?
I am good, especially okay. Not that many pounds. I'm good with my seed potatoes. Thank you, though. But we were talking to that caller earlier about blueberries and that now is a good time to fertilize them with the Holytone or another acid-loving fertilizer. So I know everybody's anxious to get out in the garden. We might have a couple of days of decent weather this week. So what are some of the things you can be doing right now? Definitely cutting down those ornamental grasses. If you want to divide them, this is the time of year to be dividing
them. It's okay
them.
To cut them down. I mean, if there's like, I'm still going by your leave everything up. There might be like good bugs in there or something.
Yeah,
is it
but
okay?
It's okay now because we're in April. So by the
all
time
my stuff
we,
I can cut down
by
now?
The time we hit early April, the daytime temperatures are pretty consistently in the 50s. That's a cue. We're starting to see a lot of our native pollinators wake up. I follow a Facebook post about pollinators of the Northeast, and people are posting pictures about the different bees that are coming out of hibernation. So, you know, over the next week or two, these are the kinds of tasks that we can do in the garden.
Yeah, I was actually
carefully
talking to Adam Vole from Sorghum. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, and he was like, I got everything ready to go in, but I can't get in.
Right.
It's too wet.
Yep.
It's too wet.
Though I have to say, I was in the vegetable garden earlier this week. The day, I don't remember what day it was, maybe Monday afternoon.
Before Tuesday, the rain.
The day before the rain. And I planted my pea seeds, my lettuce, Swiss chard, some radish seeds. And it was, I didn't have to turn the soil because I'm a no-till gardener. So I just got to dig the planting furrow and put those seeds in. And then it rained the whole next day. And I was like, woo.
Yeah, I was in on Wednesday. So I think the rain came a couple days after that. I don't remember. But I was in on Wednesday. I actually harvested because my collards already were starting to go to seed coming back from the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And as was your favorite, the arugula was going to seed. So I harvested a giant bowl of greens before we got to April. That was a good feeling.
Gotta love that. I had a Facebook memory post pop up last week and I showed you the picture of it. Last or 2 years ago at this time, I was harvesting asparagus on March 31st, which is really super early. But it will be just a few weeks until that starts to roll into. So it's officially the gardening season.
Fertilize, right? Fertilize the rhododendrons, azaleas,
fertilize
stuff
like evergreens. It's a good time to do that. It's too early to mulch most things because you don't want to start your mulching tasks until the soil dries out a little bit. Because otherwise, that soil is going to... We have clay-based soils, and they're going to stay wet a really long time if you put mulch on too early. So wait a little bit yet, a couple more weeks to really start tackling that. But definitely you can get into the vegetable garden and plant early crops, cool season crops, but still too early to till or turn up that soil if you're the kind of gardener that does that. It's still too wet. It's still sticking to the shovel.
What I'm doing is just throwing a couple bags of compost on top and planting in that, and it works fine. It's so great to get started. I'm telling you, it's nice to get a little rest, but it is so great to get started in the garden.
All right, I think we have a call.
We do. Let's say hi to Lee in North Huntington, but also congratulate Darlene from Coriopolis, winner of that great $25 gift certificate at Janoski's, where the garden center is now open. Hi, Lee.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Hey, I have a hillside behind my house that I had professionally landscaped a couple years ago. And some of the plants that they put in, there's Kelly compact junipers.
Mm-hmm.
When they planted them, they surround a sweet bay magnolia. And they planted them 5 foot away in a circle, or a triangle, I guess, around that magnolia. The problem is one of the junipers has grown so much, it's starting to go into the magnolia bush.
Okay.
Can I prune that, and when do I do it?
Is it that it's getting too tall or that it's getting too wide?
Too wide.
Too wide. Okay. So typically you want to do evergreens. I like to do my evergreens in the winter, early winter. You could do it now. The deal with junipers is you have to be really careful when you're pruning junipers because they get a blight that is spread very easily from one plant to another in your clippers. So anytime you do any pruning on junipers, make sure you have a really clean pair of clippers. So get either Lysol disinfectant spray and spray the clippers down before you use them, or dip the blades in a 10% bleach solution. And you must do that between every cut because this is a pathogen that will just wipe out a juniper bed. So make sure you have very clean clippers when you do any pruning on them.
What do you think, though, about the placement of this plant? And is she going to be able to continually trim it back so that it's not going to be a problem for the magnolia?
Well, sweet bay magnolia, is it a multi-trunked sweet bay or is it just a single trunk?
Yes, it is.
It's a multi-trunked, right. So 5 feet away, I would like to have seen it, hindsight is 20/20, right? I think 8 feet, 10 feet probably would have been a better distance for that sweet bay magnolia. But at this point, you're not going to dig those junipers up and move them. So your main goal is going to be to do maintenance pruning every year. So you're not going to go in and just hack a ton off every couple of years. You want to go in and hack a little bit off every year so that...
Keep it under control.
Right, exactly. And that should be done every year from the start with bushes to keep them in check and in control.
Do I prune from the outside in or the inside out?
I always like to... That is a great question. Now, I always like to prune from the inside out. So I will follow the tip of that branch all the way down in with my eyes and my hands. I'll look and I'll go all the way back down to where it joins another stem or branch. And that's where I'll make the cut. You don't cut just a little tip off. You follow that branch all the way back and cut it back to where it joins another branch.
Okay. I had one other question, if I could.
Mm-hmm.
I know you have to be really careful around vegetables, but I don't grow a vegetable garden. I just have this back hillside that's all planted. I have two large dogs. Can I compost their feces and use it as fertilizer up on the hillside?
No.
You don't want to do that.
Definitely not. There are, in cat and dog feces, there are, some potentially human problem pathogens. Right, that you do not want to. And in other words, all feces could have pathogens. Some are harmful to humans, some are not. And dogs and cats definitely have some that are harmful to humans. So you don't want to compost that. I actually did an article for the Trib about that a while ago, and it got a lot of feedback because people were like, you know, really? You can't do that. Don't put it on your compost pile.
I think people think it's like, you know, well, use cow manure. Cow and horse, but yeah, it's completely different.
Completely different.
We'll be back.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. News Radio 1020 KDKA.
Time for Mrs. Know-It-All. That's Denise Schreiber, Greenhouse Manager at Allegheny County Parks. What's on your list for today's to-do list for you,
Mrs. Know-It-All? I did it all yesterday. I went to work, and then I came home, and I transplanted my Meyer lemon and my key lime tree.
Nice.
And I'm rooting different types of pussy willows. So I have the black pussy willow, you know, the straight pussy willow series. And then I have the fasciated one, which is the flat branches that kind of curl all around. Kind of looks like something out of Beetlejuice.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. I've got that going on. But I wanted to talk about the lady who just called who had the junipers and the magnolia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she said she had it professionally landscaped. Huh. And when people say that, they paid somebody to do it, but not necessarily somebody with the knowledge of how plants actually grow. And, you know,
you think that'd be important for a landscaper?
Pardon me?
Do you think that'd be important for a landscaper to know how plants grow?
Yeah, you think.
Of course.
You know, you see these guys with the trucks. We call them land scrapers, you know, and they've got the trucks and they, you know, trim trees and do tie walls and brickwork. And that's fine if you can do all of that, but it helps to have some basic knowledge. A friend of mine, we just had this conversation the other night, lives in the Carlisle area, and his son was literally up in this huge oak tree. And they topped it because a few years ago, actually every year now, he has to go in there and prune out all the water sprouts because the tree was getting too big.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than paying somebody like Davey or Bartlett or one of the other tree companies because they considered the price too high, they now go and do it themselves every year.
Oh, my goodness.
And they're
goodness.
Putting themselves in danger.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he was probably 25, 30 foot up in the air.
Wow. And it's not, you know, obviously the human safety is a big issue. It's also not good for the tree to have that kind of pruning done. So let me ask you this, Mrs. Know-It-All. If someone is out there and they're looking for someone to put in a new landscape for them, is there a certification that they should look for the person who's putting it in? I mean, what is that landscaper certification that's important?
Well, there are landscape architects.
Mm-hmm.
There are landscape contractors. I mean, true contractors, they are licensed by the state.
Mm-hmm.
There are garden designers, and there are some that are very good and some that aren't very good. If you see something that you kind of like, you know, driving your neighborhood, you may want to stop and say, hey, you know, what did you think of this? If you're hiring somebody, ask them for references. You don't want to see what they planted last year. You want to see something they planted 5 years ago.
Right.
And that way, you know, you have an idea if they actually, you know, understand plants. There are some garden centers that have landscape designers on staff or referrals. I would, you know, try them. I know several that do. And that way, you know, you can get a good idea before, you know, paying a landscaper is a lot of money. Mm-hmm. It's a big investment in your house. And, you know, so you want to get the best bang for your buck.
Absolutely. And one thing I would suggest to people is to look for that ASLA certification, which is the American Society of Landscape Architects. And people who are members in that organization get education and, you know, they tend to be the people who know what they're doing. So that is just one certification. Like we often tell with arborists, you know, the ISA, which is their International Society of Arboriculture, you should look for somebody who has that certification to do the pruning in your trees because they've had that education to back it up.
They should know about plants.
Amen. Right? You're saying it as a joke, and I know you are, but the truth is they should.
I know what you're saying. I feel so bad for people that you know, imagine spending all that money planting those junipers,
right.
You know?
Right. Right. And I mean, when you look at the garden to begin with and you think, okay, 5 feet away from the base of that plant, you know, when you're planting that plant at the time and you're putting it in and you're seeing these little 1 gallon pots, right, and a 3 gallon tree, you're thinking, okay, this is plenty of room. But then 4 or 5 years down the line, it's not. So you have to also, as the homeowner, realize that when they're putting something in, a landscape is not instant satisfaction. It's not like what they do on the TV show, right? On the whatever that TV show is, Home and Garden Channel or whatever. And they put these landscapes in and they look beautiful right out the gate. But those plants in 5 years are going to be way overgrown. They're going to outcompete each other. Those plants are not going to be happy and healthy. So your garden, when you have a new garden put in, it's not supposed to look like that. It should look like that in 5 years from down the line.
You don't have to have an instant garden.
Exactly. Exactly.
Have some patience. I want to a big thank you to Guy Dobinspeck from Butler. He got me somebody to hook up for those potatoes.
Oh, good.
So, really appreciate that.
There you go. Awesome.
One potato, two potatoes.
Oh, you couldn't
200
resist.
Pounds of
Butler Home Show next week.
Yeah, and you know what? Butler Home Show is absolutely free to get into. I forgot to mention that, but I will be at the Butler Home Show next Sunday, 2 o'clock, talking organic gardening. We have so much fun when I go there. And I have free seeds for you, and it's for a good cause. Partnered with the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank, you grow out some Swiss chard, some great heirloom Swiss chard, and just donate it to your local pantry. You can help people with your garden.
And Andy will be there. Andy Amrine, Mr. True Value.
He'll be there on Saturday.
Saturday at 1 o'clock. All right, Dollar Bank instant access message. How would you discuss trimming hydrangeas with someone who's never done it before? What would you tell them?
Easily. I'd just say never do it.
Right. Don't prune your hydrangea. That is, if you have any question about how to prune a hydrangea, the answer is don't prune it at all. What looks like dead brown sticks right now, if you're growing a mop-headed or hydrangea macrophylla with the big pink and blue flowers, those what look like dead sticks right now are holding the flower buds for this year. So if you cut them back, you've just cut off all of your flowers.
Why do you think that this is the number one? Why is that the number one question? Everywhere you go this time of the year, you're going to get questions about hydrangeas. And we always talk about these different hydrangeas.
It's just a popular plant. Everybody loves it. Everybody wants to see it bloom prolifically because it's such a high impact plant.
Long bloomer.
If you are worried about it not blooming and you don't want to have to fuss with it too much, there are better hydrangeas than the hydrangea macrophylla.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of the Annabelle hydrangeas.
Same here.
They bloom consistently on new and old wood, big white flowers. There's now pink versions of them as well. It's an easier to grow plant.
I told another Jessica story yesterday.
Oh boy.
I said, again, referencing people asking about hydrangeas. Mm-hmm. And I said, Jessica always says that if a plant doesn't make it after 3 years, it goes in the compost. So I have I had this hydrangea, Nico Blue. And I told Nico Blue, in 3 years, it had given me about 3 blooms. I said, Jessica says, if you don't bloom this year, you're in the compost. I got 50 blooms.
So see, plants listen to me.
Me and your husband, no, we don't listen.
Right.
But the plants, you got to talk to your plants.
All right. We'll come back and wrap up the show in just a couple of moments, ladies and gentlemen. But before we do, what are you up to in the trib? And same question for you, Jessica Wallace. Go ahead, Doug.
Okay. I just had a story all about pansies. And with our friend Nikki Jabor was one of the sources. And this is the time to plant pansies. Next week, I've got a story all about early early planting of vegetables. Jess, what do you got going on? Do you remember?
I'm trying to remember exactly what it was that I wrote about. I don't think my Friday column made it in this week for some reason. They had they ran some different stories.
I'll tell you why.
Oh, you're going to tell me why?
It's tough on space. They're cutting. You know, I have to cut my stuff. It's just like in this cycle of there's not really enough space for everything, and so stuff is getting. My stuff, too. So
Right.
But you can't expect the Sunday comics to take a back seat. Come on,
right,
guys.
Exactly.
Those of us that are educated.
What's more important, Beetle Bailey or your hydrangea question?
And a reminder, too, by the way, that if you don't get the Trib delivered to your door, you can read, obviously, all our articles for free online by going to triblife.com and just searching either Jessica Wallace or Doug Oster. And up will pop all of the columns that we write. And it's a great way to access those articles for anybody.
For me, actually, you got to go to Everybody Gardens. It's not on the Trib site. Yours is Trib. Mine's Everybody Garden.
Mine's Trib Live. Yours is Everybody. Oh, it's confusing.
Yes.
We'll be back.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. Diz Radio 1020 KDKA.
Well, get out there, get in the garden, get some stuff planted. This is the time to do it. Putting pansies in. You got pansies
all
in?
All the cole crops right now can go in. I heard the Janoskis has their cabbage plants and broccoli and all that stuff. This is a great time of year to do it.
Oh, it's fun to get started.
And I cover mine with a milk jug, like an old milk jug with the bottom cut out. Put them right over the plants.
Remember, the Organic Gardeners always aim to create a better place to garden.
And a safer place to live.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.